Hi folks, Joe Stagner here with video number 9 in this video series on building ASP.NET web applications using Microsoft Visual Web Developer. In the previous video, we took a look at application level events, event handlers, and variables. And we talked about how there is a special scope mechanism that's available for application level variables and events. And that being that application level events and variables span across users and across user sessions for all of the code, all of the users, and all of the sessions in our application. So that's great, but sometimes we want to keep track of things that are specific to a user, but that survive the span of time in between requests. And so if you're not familiar with the intrinsics of the page lifecycle with ASP.NET, when a user makes a request for a resource in an ASP.NET application, like a page, default.aspx, there's actually a .NET class that represents that page. And when that URL request is made, an instance of that class or an object gets created, and then the code inside that object executes and emits HTML or JavaScript and whatever else is going to be sent down to the browser. And then that object is free to be recovered. The resources that object consumes are free to be recovered. So if we have variables in that object instance, when the page is complete, gets sent down to the browser, and that object is marked as recoverable, then the garbage collector can take that all of those resources away. Those variables don't survive until the next request. So sometimes we want to keep track of things that will stick around for the next request that a user makes, and the next one after that, and the next one after that. And we do that by using session objects. So let's first hop into source code mode here. Let's grab this application hit counter, just this label that we're going to display, and let's add a little UI so that we can display a session object as well. All right, so we've just got another label control. That's all we need. Now, here we are back in our global.asax file, and you'll note here down at the bottom there are two event handlers that start with the word session, session underscore start and session underscore end. These get fired in much the same way as their application level equivalents get fired. So when a user first makes a request for a resource in an application, the runtime checks for a cookie that contains a token that tells the runtime that that user has already visited. If that doesn't exist, then the runtime says, hey, this is a new user, let's create a session object for him. Likewise, when the specified period of time passes with no subsequent request from that user is considered to have stopped using the application, and the session end event gets fired, and then whatever code is in the session underscore event handler gets executed. So, as this note says, the comment that's generated in the global.asax file when we create one, it says, note the session.end event was raised only when the session mode is set to inproc in the web.config file, meaning that if you're using some sort of an external storage mechanism like SQL, for example, it may not get fired. And you want to know that. It's very important if you're deploying in a web farm and you're using SQL Server or some shared memory state manager, that event doesn't get fired. So you can't depend on it for all deployment scenarios. It's always a good idea to clean up resources and such in your code. But the session on start event can be very useful because we want to create a session object similar to how we created an application level object. So let's do that. We're going to use the same sort of syntax. Session, open paren. Now note IntelliSense here tells us this is one of three. Right, so you want to make sure that you remember going through all of these parts of the vast realm that is ASP.NET, IntelliSense continues to help us. In our case, we're just going to use the same syntax that we used to create an application object, but only for a session object. So note that I entered the double quotes, and IntelliSense automatically switched to the overloaded version of the session method call that takes a string as an input parameter. Right? So the key that we want for this session variable will be session hit count, And again, we're going to set that equal to 0. We're just going to initialize it. And I'm going to keep my case consistent. And I'm going to cut this. Then we're going to go back into the code behind for our page. And just like we incremented and then displayed the application counter, we're going to do the same with the session counter. So I'm going to say that session hit count session level variable is going to be incremented by 1. And then, of course, we want to display it as well. We're going to display it in label 2. Okay, so see the syntax, very similar to working with application level variables. Now I'm going to go ahead and run this, and we'll see how the session level variable differs from the application level variable. Now this is, so we just started up the web server. Again, you can tell that we're using the internal ASP.NET server that's part of Visual Web Developer. And so we've got the first application hit as well as the first session hit. And each time that I post back to this application, I'm incrementing both my application hit count and my session hit count. So let's set them both to 5. Now, if I open another browser instance, and let's use a different browser, let's use Firefox. So remember that different browser versions don't share state information. They have their own cookie collection, which is how the key for a specific user is handled. If I enter the URL into Firefox, notice what happens. The application hit count gets incremented, but this is a new session object because to our application, because we made this request in Firefox, it looks like it's a brand new user. And if we make a couple of increments here, notice we're getting an increment for both the app hit count as well as the session hit count. Notice app hit count, we'll set it equal to 10. Session hit count is 5. If we hop back over to Internet Explorer and we resubmit this page, notice app hit count jumps to 11. But session hit count just jumps to 1 because those session hits aren't shared between the two browser instances. And if I add a third browser to the mix, this new browser from those other guys, I can notice that here we have hit counts 12, but the session hit count is brand new, so a new session got created here. If I go ahead and resubmit this page a couple of times, notice we're jumping 4, 5, 6, 7 session hit count, but the app hit count is 18. If I go back to Internet Explorer, it was 11, should be 19 when we refresh. Right, so we're keeping track of both the number of times that this user hits our page as well as any user hits this page in the application anywhere. So hopefully that gives you an idea of the difference between application state and session state and how we can use those application and session specific variables. And you'll want to give some thought to the creative ways in which you might use those. So whether we need to create specific data points or time markers, or we need to retrieve data that's going to be specific to a user and store it in its session variables. There's lots of power that can be derived from these scoping mechanisms that span beyond page the page lifecycle. And one of the other things that you want to remember is that these live by default in memory. So if you're using the in proc version of session state. So there are three ways that session state can be stored. It can be in proc, which means per server, per application. Or it can be shared, so you could say, for all of my web servers, store session state on that machine, or you can use SQL Server Database. But if you're using in proc especially, or if you're using any in-memory session state manager, even if it's shared, you want to be a little bit discretionary in terms of how much memory you consume. So for example, you're not going to want to do a select all from a database and store that entire data set in a session object because you will severely limit the number of users that your web application will be able to handle in concurrency. Now, if you're storing them in a SQL Server database, you certainly have some additional flexibility, but overusing session state can be a good way to degrade the performance of your application, whether you're using one server or many servers. So you want to use it with discretion, but definitely take advantage of the power of application level event handlers and objects, as well as session level event handlers and objects. ¶¶